right, comes back left, Nanny shoots. Oh my goodness, Louis Nanny! Here goes Darryl DK at warm horn. DK shoots, scores! DK wins it for Orlando! Biggest man in MLS comes up huge.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Lions Blog podcast. Welcome back to the Lions Blog YouTube channel. We are here today to have some quick conversation about some signings, and then we are gonna get into the Ojeda scouting video. Long time coming. Unfortunately, we had this scheduled a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, and somebody, not pointing fingers, somebody's laptop not to work. That could be you, could be Chase, could be Daniel.
As you can see by my fantastic picture quality, I'm clearly using a new laptop.
Yes, it was Adam. I had to go out and get a new laptop. No one can question your love for the team, Orlando City, and your love for the podcast, Lions Blog, because you went out and got a brand new laptop and microphone for the podcast.
I did. I'm proud of you. This is going to sound horrible, but I got an actual mic, guys. No more Rock Band mic.
No more Rock Band mic. No more laptop mic. I love it.
Pour one out for the homies.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's first talk some Ramiro Henrique. Why not? I wasn't planning on doing this, but I've got it up.
We got a thing.
Yeah,
That's like Ramiro Henrique, everyone.
Yeah. So, 21-year-old forward Ramiro Henrique from Atletico Banfield, 3+2 contract, 3 years through 2025. Options
standard
2026,
MLS contract.
2027 standard contract. This is our new under 22 striker. What are your quick thoughts on Henrique?
I haven't watched a ton of him. I've just seen basically highlight clips and that's it. But from what I know, what I've heard is he was a productive striker / winger. He can play all three front spots. He's very dynamic. He's not of the Arshankara mold. He's more of a mobile type player, obviously, since he can play in the wing too. And 12 goals, 3 assists in 4,000 minutes is very good.
4,000 minutes at his age is pretty good. That's an experience
at his age. That's experience, that's productive experience, and he's still so young. He's talented. He's got a little bit of flash to him from what I've seen. Not going to hype him up too much. Obviously, he's 21 years old, and he's going to be behind Arshankara on the depth chart. I don't imagine he'll see much playing time on the wings either. But, due to schedule congestions, we will see him a lot, probably in midweek starts, probably in Open Cup. We'll see him probably as coming off the bench in relief of Cara when we want to stretch the field more in the Benji Michel role last year. So there will be minutes for him. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, and he is billed as, in terms of being a winger, a right winger. I didn't hear anything about the left, which I'm assuming he can play out there if we needed him to. But the interesting thing is the left is where we feel pretty secure. Faku can play out there. Ojeda can play out there. Gaston Gonzalez is obviously back from injury. And we have Ivan Angulo, who can play out there as well as Shaq Mohammed, who we got in the draft. So we're feeling really good on that left side. And some people are saying, well, what about the right? Well, we know Faku can play out there just fine. Ojeda can also do a job out there, which we're going to see a little bit in this video. But mostly he was on the left in this game that we're going to be looking at. And then it's like, can Shaq Mohammed do it? Maybe he can, but I don't know. And it's like, maybe we want one more option out there. Ramiro Henrique can do that.
And I think that's what we've seen, and obviously we're going to talk about the rest of our offseason arrivals too. A theme among them is position versatility. So obviously Henrique is a guy who can play striker and he can play winger. Doug Ordon, who we're going to talk about, he can play 8 and 10. You know, Martin Ojeda can play all four attacking spots if you want to throw 10 in there. That's kind of been the theme this offseason with our acquisitions.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on, actually, to Doug Ordon. Icelandic internationals, played a couple times for the Iceland team, 4 caps overall, 22 years old, and has kind of bounced around a couple different teams, going on loan, and then kind of going back and forth, playing some but not a ton, and now he's found his way to us. I mean, kind of a random transfer when you think about it. Like, where did we even find this guy? Kind of speaks to just how vast scouting departments are nowadays, that they can find players out of nowhere. But Doug Ordon, any thoughts on the new midfielder, the new Icelandic midfielder?
Yeah, he's the Junior Urso replacement in terms of like-for-like. That's his play style. He's kind of that mix between an 8 and a 10. He's not going to play 6. Quick reminder for those who are unfamiliar with the number terminology, 6 is your defensive midfielder, a la Cesar Araujo. 8 is your box-to-box guy, a la Junior Urso. And then 10 is your creative attacking midfielder, Mauricio Pereira, are the archetypes for those positions. He's a guy, he's great. He's got a sweet, I believe, left foot on him. He's left-footed, right? I think so.
He's right-footed. He's right-footed. I have seen clips of his left foot that look just fine.
FIFA put a video out of him where he scored 2 identical free kicks in the same game. He's very good at set piece delivery. I thought it was left-footed. It might have been right-footed, but I think it was right-footed. He curled in around the wall and into the corner twice in the same game. It was kind of incredible, identical free kicks. He's a very skilled striker of the ball. He looks to have really good awareness. He likes to arrive late in the box and score goals. He's really going to, another thing we've seen with these signings, they've all been very attack-minded this offseason, and he is definitely that. If we were looking for more production from the midfield, in a certain setup, say we were going Mauricio Pereira at the 10, and we wanted someone in midfield that was going to arrive late in the box and provide another outlet to actually score goals, he's a fantastic option for that. So I'm very, very excited to see what he can do. And also Icelandic cap at his age, he's very young too. I have his page up. He's 22. Icelandic cap at 22. That's a decent national team in this day and age. He doesn't have that many caps, but it's a very recent cap, so it shows that he's getting the recognition in his country.
Yeah, so he's getting the recognition, but also he's played a ton. So Enrique, we said 4,000 minutes is good for a 21-year-old. This kid's 22. 8,000 minutes already under his belt, including 400.
He's not raw.
400 minutes at 16 years old in the Icelandic second division at 16. So he's been around the professional game quite a while too. He's maybe wasn't at the top flight at that time, but that's still really, really impressive. 18 goals, 11 assists in 116 appearances. At 22 is not a bad number at all. I mean, that's what?
And
28,
29. I believe a lot of those goal contributions are recent. He started scoring more as he got older.
Yeah, 5 goals, 5 assists.
That's what you want to see. That's what you want to see.
Oh, sorry. 9 goals, 5, 6, 7, 8. Sorry, 9 goals, 7 assists in 2022. Yeah. There must be a ton of different competitions because they're really spread out here.
I mean, but that's real impressive.
Yeah. And then I'm just gonna flash this up real quick.
I think Doug Ordon's the non-Ojeda acquisition I'm most excited to see.
Okay. I just gotta show you this. I know I zoomed in a crazy amount. What is this? Center mid, man damn, knows left back, how to left, get left on wing, the field. Center forward, right wing, right mid. He has been all over the place.
Man knows how to get on the field.
So,
but he's primarily going to play center mid and attacking mid.
Yeah. Looking like he's played 8 games at striker. What is going on here? So someone to be excited about. I doubt he starts right away and comes in, but I wouldn't be too sure.
Maybe not like immediately. Really? I think he's good enough to give Cartagena some competition.
Yeah, maybe.
For that. Obviously, Araujo and Pereira are locked in starters. Yeah. If we're going to go with a third midfielder, I think depending on how we want to set up, if we could either go Cartagena if we want to go more defensive and go with almost double sixes, or if you want to go, you know, push it a little more and have a very aggressive midfield, I think he's a really good option there, and he could push Cartagena immediately.
Absolute scenes when Dagger Dan starts at right mid for us, like Urso did that season. Oh man,
no, that's the type of player he is. He's, yeah. I think if Urso's still on this team, we're not trying to sign Dagger Dan.
Yeah, probably not. I think that's fair. I was going to say that's the quickest way for Oscar Pereira to lose his job. If he starts Dagger Dan at right wing over like
Milanito
or something.
What if everyone's injured?
Right. True. All right. And then finally, before we get into the scouting video, we have a new contract for Godrigo Schlegel. On a 2+2, right? Yeah, 2+2.
Does that put him in an Orlando City uniform the rest of his career? How old is he?
No, he's got to be 25 at the he's 25.
I thought he was late 20s.
That puts him here at least till 27.
And then I can't imagine not renewing him as long as he still plays like he does.
Yeah, and I mean. He's just now going to be entering his prime for center back. Maybe even still just a little bit outside of his prime. And he's been playing a lot recently, just with injuries to Carlos early on, Janssen later on in the season. He played most of the season last year. Actually started the cup win, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
Janssen wasn't back yet.
Yeah, he started the cup win. I mean, he scored in the cup run.
One of the center backs wasn't back yet.
Janssen, yeah, it was Janssen. Really, really important player to our squad. I really don't feel too scared when he starts a game for us. So happy that we've got Schlegel.
I don't necessarily want to rely on him every week as a starter as the plan, but as number three, I'm very comfortable with him. He loves the club. He was actually instrumental in recruiting Martin Ojeda. So, there you go.
Rossin.
So yeah, it's honestly a no-brainer. The guy like him, he's affordable. He doesn't cost any allocation money. He doesn't cost any spots other than an international slot. I imagine he'll be getting a green card sooner or later. You know, if he's going to be here 4 more years, probably next season, I would imagine. So. Yeah, and especially if he were going to leave, it would have been after this contract, you know, age 25 season, age 26 going to leave. It looks like he doesn't have any plans to, so. Yeah. He's the kind of player you need in your squad, someone who doesn't mind being a rotational kind of player, but when you need him to play those minutes, he steps in and he doesn't bring the team down.
Yeah, no, really important player to our squad and to our success moving forward, I think. So it's good to lock him down. So just all positive news on our front. I mean, we haven't had too many negatives this offseason at all when you think about it. So no wonder us Orlando City fans are feeling pretty excited heading into the season. Any thoughts on that? No negativity right now. You're on mute.
I thought I took myself off mute. I can't think of a move that I don't like. You know, it all's kind of gone according to plan. And I mean,
feels like it.
Tom Bogert, MLS Insider, has referenced several times that he thinks that we had the best offseason in the league, and biased, but tend to agree with him.
You look around the league, there hasn't been too many more.
No.
crazy offseason. Like, we've had a lot of moves.
LAFC's done really good. I think Chicago Fire spent a bunch of money, but I don't know what they have to show for it necessarily. Yeah.
Not much. And they just lost their promising striker, John Duran.
With that, like, I mean, they kind of got DK'd there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I can't find a hole in this team. There really isn't one. If you want to say right back, maybe, but you got three guys there that the team believes can play minutes. So, I mean, as far as a, you know, if you're saying, oh, well, the right back spot might just be average and not contribute much attacking. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, no. You mean we're not going to play through the right back spot in our attack this year? Oh, no. I'll hate that.
Darn. Damn.
Yeah, no, I'm extremely happy with all the moves. It seems like everyone who's talked to anyone, Rico and Muzi both said that they're really excited because the acquisitions they've made are allowing us to now play a more attacking style, which I don't think was intended shade at Oscar Pereja. It's just like something they're genuinely excited about. They're like, oh, we're going to score some goals. This is going to be fun to watch. So I think it's a really exciting five competitions coming up, or five trophies to win in four competitions. It's going to be a fun season. Not trying to jinx anything, even if we don't win anything, this is going to be a fun team to watch. This can be a good team. Injuries and unexpected act of God, whatever, are the only way I don't foresee us being a very good team. And I cannot wait to watch.
Yeah. And we just have a lot of, it seems like every season this gets talked about. It's like, we feel like we have a lot of depth. And it's like, unless like Ramiro Enrique stinks and Gaston Gonzalez stinks and like these players just like Dagger Don is awful and Petrasso and Santos are bad. Like, basically there has to be really, really bad players coming in to say that we don't have depth, basically. Because right now we feel like we have good, solid MLS quality players who can do a job and do it at like an above average level in almost every position on the pitch.
I feel like we go too deep at every position, at least.
Yeah.
So, and that's what you want.
Yeah. It would really have to be someone's just not performing at the level. And I can't see that happening. Maybe like a Dagger Don struggles or something like that, or like a Rafael Santos. But
I mean, you're not going to hit on everyone, but that's why you have so many. Like, if we don't hit on, you know, one of our wingers, we got three more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and we're talking about Rico Marrera and his scouting department, who is, in my opinion, the best scouting department in the league, inarguably one of the best scouting departments in the league. They hit much more than they miss. You know, if Luca Petrasso isn't great, but Rafael Santos is, okay, we have a below average backup left back. You know, we can afford to have that.
And we have Kyle Smith, who's been our backup left back for three seasons. So much
versatility. If one of our backup wingers isn't great, Dagger Don can play both wings, right? Yeah. If it gets down to it, we need someone to start a Wednesday game when we got Open Cup and Leagues Cup and whatever sandwich, right? We need someone to start a game. Dagger Don can start a Wednesday game. It's all very doable. That kind of versatility.
And it's just, we need to use the rotation. Because, like, remember last year we were so excited about Mendez, Araujo, Urso being our three for the two spots in midfield. And then we didn't really use Mendez in the rotation that much. We need to see that rotation. But I think we will. There's just too much. Mm-hmm. There's too much. Too many games.
And also, I think part of that was Mendez was seen as only a six. So, almost he and Araujo were not going to play together. I personally disagree with it, but I'm also not the one seeing them in training every day. So,
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the scouting video. So if you're listening to the audio, I'm going to post this on the podcast feed and on YouTube. So if you're listening to the audio, head over to the YouTube if you can to watch what we're watching live. If not, just go ahead. Feel free to listen. Not a problem. So let me pull up my screen here. So this is just going to lay it out for you guys. This is a full game River Plate, one of the better sides in Argentina. I think they finished third last year, versus obviously Godoy Cruz, which is the team Ojeda plays on. And I knew that Ojeda scored and assisted in this game going into it. But actually, Godoy Cruz go down to 10 men halfway through. So for the first half, and it's like almost right at halftime when it happens. So in the first half, he starts on the left. For the last few minutes of the first half, when they're down to 10 men, he has a couple touches on the right. And then for the rest of the game, he's kind of like their striking outlet, basically. So that's kind of what we're going to see here. And just try and keep an eye out for these circles. I put them in here. I'm not good at editing, so just... I gave it my best shot.
You're disappointing all of our listeners and viewers who, you know, have stayed with us all these years just for your editing skills.
I know. It was a request, actually, because I said we're going to do an Ojeda video, scouting video, and someone was like, hey, can you put a circle by the player? Can you put a circle on Ojeda? Because I can never find him, and then the clip's gone. That's how quick some of these are. So I was like, okay, I'll do a circle. So that's what I did. So here we are. So we'll just rewind whenever we want to. But these are going to be defensive actions, offensive actions, all sorts of stuff. This is just him tracking back, losing the ball. And then I think that's really it. I even did a transition. So, you know, I really put some time and effort
that's
into
fancy,
this.
Gavin.
Yeah. Hey, so here he is on the left side.
Oscar's going to like that little bit of press there, you know, just the instinct to go and, you know, make himself a nuisance.
Yeah. He's not going to not play defense.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I want to say that is Enzo Fernandez taking a set piece. Good whip ball.
Isn't Enzo Fernandez with Benfica, right?
Yeah, but I think
was this 2021?
No, he joined. Maybe it wasn't Enzo Fernandez. I thought it was, but
yeah, he was with Benfica last year.
Oh, I thought he joined just 6 months ago. All right, so I do want to rewatch this clip because we were talking about something else.
Yeah.
So here he is. Just watch his movement. He always is finding himself in like pockets of space. At least in this match, he was. But like, keeps peeling off.
He's moving the space, without deep. Expending energy, which is
yes.
Key.
That's a really good way to word it. And
it's very efficient.
Tearing away. He's always on the move, as well. At least offensively, he's always running.
And Faku's gonna love that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, someone who does me.
It's just like his feet are always moving and on offense. On defense, he does tend to walk a bit, but offensively, because he's preserving energy, which isn't an issue. But offensively, he's just constantly moving.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't make that little run, like right before there, when the ball's not in the area, he's not in a position to receive the ball. It's very intelligent.
So I kind of missed it, but yeah, he just makes that little darting run and he's there. Back post.
He's just hanging out where the space is.
Yep.
There it is. And he, you know, enough space to receive the ball, make himself a nuisance.
I was pretty disappointed actually with this. I think he's like,
I mean, it's a miscontrol, but
yeah, he just like waits too long.
He needs to be a little more aggressive with it.
Yeah.
He had the right idea, poor execution.
I really liked that.
That's a hell of a ball.
Just right smart. There. Just smart. Find the space.
Also just incredible strike.
Yep. All right, I'm just going to rewind this immediately because they win the ball in the midfield, and I did want to highlight this as well. He's right here. They win the ball immediately
and
forward.
He just starts running.
Yep.
And that's Doesn't how he connect, finds himself. But- In that kind of position, because the defense is not set.
Again, they're going to win the ball. Look at his instinct forward.
Yeah. He's right on the shoulder of that defender, and then he's got space. And is this the goal?
Yeah.
Oh, what a strike.
Yep.
I mean, he made that look easy near post from damn near outside the box. Was this outside the box?
Just outside, I think.
That defender out of position did make it easy for him to keep himself onside there. But yeah. Still,
well, they actually called him offside at first.
Oh, really?
They had to do a VAR check.
Yeah, but as hell of a finish there.
Yep. And then peeling off to the outside
and cross in. Ooh, what a ball!
Just yeah. So
I like that. That little cutback. We've been missing the cutback. I feel like that's not been a big part of our game plan. But if you can hit that pass, it's such a deadly pass.
Yeah, let's watch this one more time.
I mean, the vision to see and pick out that pass.
Yeah, and he just hits it hard too. Just yeah. Like finds the spot, and again finds the space overlap. Bang.
Yeah,
it's good. Just he looks excited.
Weave it through the defenders.
So here he is tracking back. Kind of jogging a bit, sees an opportunity to get the ball and picks up the pace. But there, that's an Oscar Parejo winger right there.
Hey, Parejo's going to love that clip.
He was literally, this is him, covering back. I was like, okay, that's pretty impressive. Like, you're dropping back to left back there.
And they will always be used for a player like that. And any match at any time that's going to be willing to run the length of the field if he sees an opportunity to help out on defense.
Yeah.
That's an invaluable skill. You don't need to always be running on defense. Obviously you need to conserve energy, but if you see that it needs to be done, freaking do it.
It's just always finding the space. Yeah. Not a very good ball there, but
it looked prettier than it was.
And then there is again, forward run. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Oh, dilly-dallied on it. Top left your screen. Give me the ball. Oh, come on.
They needed to get him the ball.
River Plate were leaving so much space, and he was finding it time after time in this match. When's the foul? Should have got the ball there.
Yeah, that was a poor shot decision.
Yeah. So this is after the red card. So he's going to be on the right for this clip and I think the next clip. So he can do a job out there.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come back here and put in a tackle.
He's for as quick as he plays when he has the ball, he's very accurate with his passes.
Yep.
Even though it looks like he's rushing, the pass gets exactly where he needs it to be.
Yep. Good defense there.
Yeah.
And so this is down to 10 men as well. So every clip from here on out, I mean, a lot of them are counters. But
draws a foul.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this, again, this isn't no, joke of a team. This is River Plate. Oh, I love this clip. Because he gets there first.
That's just straight up effort.
He had no right to get there first.
Oh, absolutely not.
Your mic just got really loud. I don't know why.
It's because everyone wants to hear me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at this touch. A little bit of close control for everyone's liking. Not that one.
Boop. That one. Ooh.
But then he decided to shoot it.
Yeah.
Which I understand why.
He's like, I'll do it myself.
Good defense. Interception. Looks for the 1-2. Guy trips over himself because he sucks. Not a foul. So a lot of these are going to be defensive from here on out.
Yeah.
But last line. Oh, just
that clear off run.
Just look at this.
He took two defenders with him there.
Yep.
I like how he presses into the first one and then tries to split them, to make them into each other.
It just engages the defender. look at the space he opens up.
Oh, it's his teammates got to do better with that.
Oh, it's a terrible pass.
And terrible run.
Yeah.
He keeps it way, way, way too close to the central defender.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things is kind of what you said. I really like the way you put it. Is that he's moving without like putting in a bunch of effort. Like he's just always moving on offense.
Always. It's conservation of momentum. If he's basically just keeping his legs moving but not really putting any force behind it. And just kind of, you know, like he's controlling himself with the joystick. Like, I'm going to be moving a direction. I just got to pick the direction.
Yeah.
He's like, almost like constantly jogging.
And that was really good because I remember they were under pressure for a really long time, you know, down to 10 men. Just keep the ball, keep it back to the goalie. Just chill out. It's just smart.
Honestly, they should redeem Godoy Cruz, the Fighting Martino haters.
But so many times.
Look at that touch. Perfect weight on that touch and
draw a foul. Again, relieves pressure. Just smart.
And you see what this shows, this set of clips shows, is he knows how to close out a game.
Yep. And if this was 10 minutes, maybe even like 15 minutes earlier, that is just. He's got just enough to get past his man. I think he was just gassed at this point, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But going back to the always moving thing, I mean, how many times have we, or at least me, how many times have I just complained that we're not moving enough? Like we're too static on offense. There's not enough runs in behind. This dude's just always running. He's always moving. We will have offensive movement. There he is. Or that's not him. He's making that run in behind. And, like, that was a good run. He didn't get the ball. Maybe he should have. He's up here.
He might have been offside by the time they realized it.
Yeah. Just always moving. I love it. I love it. That was pretty poor, but
yeah,
86 minute. Right 86 minute, and I hope we're not buying
the first defense. We've seen that defense before.
Yeah, and that was it. So, anything to add on that from
No, he's kind of exactly the player that we've all imagined him to be. He's a guy. He's a dynamic winger. He's always moving. He's very intelligent. He's going to find the space that he's so good at finding space to drop into because he's always moving towards that space. And if you are already moving, then the guy seeing you move there, but that isn't moving yet, is going to already be behind to catch up, and that's how you win. So that's how you score goals.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and pull up a YouTube comp as well, just to see some of the, you know, the best stuff. Oh my gosh! So I skipped ads, and then it brought me to like halfway through the video because I was looking at, I was watching the video earlier. And then it just made me watch ads again. And I'm still watching ads.
You know, we should.
I know that's what everyone wants to hear.
On our stream, so we make additional ad revenue.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see here.
Line Spark Podcast for the money.
All right. Let's get this up. I'm going to leave it like this. So there's no, like, I don't know. Copyright, that's the word. No copyright issues. Nice little shove in the back there. If he goes down, that's a red card.
If you have watched any Argentinian league at all, any of you out there, I've watched a couple games.
That's what we just saw.
It's rough. Conquerable is like CONCACAF on steroids.
Yeah. Let's get the 1080p going. What are we doing? Not much better.
Yeah.
He definitely takes set pieces for them, so we've got yet another corner taker, which is nice.
Now, if you watch this video, you can tell that he either scores or assists on every single touch, except for that. Credit to them for including a miss in the highlight video.
Yeah, it's a good cutback.
Yeah, I like the cutbacks. I like that he looks for the cutbacks. I feel like Faku does that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was missing from like everyone else. They were just trying to like the bended crosses and that was it.
Yeah. And he likes to, one thing I've also noticed is he likes to engage his defender, which is a sign of like a good dribbler.
Mm-hmm.
Like wait that extra second, engage them and then go past them. He made the pass, not the shot.
Oh, that's a good shot.
Yeah.
That's a ball right there. Rewind that. Oh, that's a ball.
Perfectly placed.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like almost knuckled and then dropped right on his teammate.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a ball.
Oh, how about that for a ball?
Oh,
just put it in a good area. Just a really good area.
Okay, you know what that reminds me of? Don't take this the wrong way. You know how Zlatan would just try shit? And it occasionally it would work? Some of his passes remind me of that. The ball's like at my shoulder height and I'm not going to have an opportunity to bring it down or dribble. I'm just going to try and hit it and see if it works.
And it worked. That's terrible. For far too long, I want to call this out. For far too long, we haven't had any threat, danger, goals from this portion of the pitch. This has been like a dead zone for us, it feels like. And I feel like Ojeda, I hope will start on the right. But if he does end up being our left winger and Gonzalez is on the bench for whatever reason, Ojeda will bring that kind of threat on this side of the pitch. Again, my preferred lineup would be Ojeda on the right, Facu in the middle, Gonzalez on the left, and Gonzalez will bring us threat over here too. But if it is Ojeda, he will bring a lot of threat on this left side. And that's just a terrible finish.
I mean, like, not to throw any shade on Ivan Angulo, who's a fine player. Ivan Angulo can't be your number one best option on the wing. Man doesn't score.
Yeah, he doesn't. He puts in a good shift. He'll keep the ball for you. He's probably a really good, like, closing option.
He's a good passer. He's good at connecting with his teammates. Awful finisher.
Yeah.
Hey, that just can't be your number one option there. There's no threat when he has the ball. He's just like he's great at linkage play. That's about it.
Yeah.
And obviously really good defender.
So Ojeda, what I'm getting the vibe that he's going to get a lot of opportunities and he's going to create a lot of opportunities, but he's also got the quality to like, he's got the end product quality.
He seems like a kind of guy that's going to get, I mean, of course, is exactly what he does, like almost equal number goals and assists. He seems equally good at both of them, which is very, very dangerous for a player of his quality.
Yeah. There's not much to not like here.
Yeah.
I think we've struck gold with this signing.
He passes, he shoots, he has, skill to make magic happen. He defends. He's by all accounts a great teammate. Everyone loves him who's ever talked to him, played with him.
And only $4 million?
An absolute steal. Okay, so the Argentina is on fire right now as far as their economy.
Oh, that's right.
And so their league is literally having a fire sale. Like, there's a max exodus of young talent. Anyone worth any money from that league just seems trying to stay afloat. So, yeah, I believe when we were looking after him last season, the asking price was closer to $8
million. And we got him for half that now.
We got him for, $4 or $5, whatever the number was.
Yeah.
But I believe the rumored fee was $8 million last season.
Here he is on the right. Easy. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And he had, like 2021 was his breakout, not 22. And then he went and had another better year in 2022. Like, it just as slam dunk as of a signing as you can get.
Yep. We just got to feed him. Mm-hmm. We got to play him, and we will. Pereira and Faku with him up there as well.
I'm excited to see how he plays with those two, especially Faku. Like, because I like watching Godoy Cruz, there was not another player of his quality on that pitch.
No, there wasn't.
But we have one. Yeah.
So that's Ojeda. That's who we brought in. Yeah. I'm sure you guys have already seen the YouTubes, but I like to bring a little bit of extra flavor in by kind of going in and doing the hard work and editing a video for you guys to see just some of the stuff that you don't see when you just go on the YouTubes. So got to see some defense, got to see some hiccups, some giveaways, got to see some tackles, interceptions, runs, movement. So just like learning more about players like that. So that's Martin Ojeda, new what is his number? Is he number 11 for us?
Number 11.
Okay, so he is number 11. So
if I want to see if you agree with me on this. The thing that I could see Ojeda struggling with is sometimes in MLS, defenses are more aggressive, and he might not find as much space to just kind of drift into as he did in the Argentinian League due to, honestly, MLS is a higher quality league top to bottom. That might be controversial in some circles, but having watched a lot of MLS and now a fair amount of the Argentinian League, MLS is a better league. It's kind of not close.
Argentina League, because I've watched like probably four or five games at this point, just scouting players that we've been looking at. It just feels like the players are at max intensity all the time.
Yeah.
And so there is more space to run into, but when you're in the midfield, it is someone's on you all the time. You're on the touchline and you're getting like rammed into. Like you have no time in that midfield. But that leaves space because people are leaving holes in other spots. And so there's not going to be that space, you're right.
He might find a more structured but still physical defense that MLS often presents, especially the better MLS sides. Take Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia is an incredibly structured, incredibly physical defense that doesn't leave a lot of those spaces, especially up the middle. I'm interested to see how he deals with that, if he's going to, you know, try and stay more out wide, if he's going to rely on passing more than, you know, dribbling. I could see that being his adjustment that he struggles with. Because, you know, obviously no player is perfect, and especially if they're coming to MLS instead of one of the top five European leagues, they do have flaws. I wonder if that's going to be the adjustment for him that he's going to need to overcome, similar to how, honestly, Faku kind of struggled with the same thing a little bit, adjusting to his teammates, adjusting to the physicality, the style of play, and that, you know, he was going to have to make quicker decisions a little bit, especially in the final third.
Mm-hmm. I think you're spot on there. I think he might struggle with that. That is kind of why I want our starting lineup to have him and Faku next to each other. I think having them two next to each other and not far away from each other will. I mean, that triangle of Pereira in the right eight. Well, we usually play Pereira left eight, don't we? But if we were to have, was he? Okay, so
he's a right side player.
Pereira right 8, Faku 10, Ojeda right wing. Oh, that is so much quality in that triangle. That is beautiful.
It's like that story of Clint Dempsey in a U.S. training camp years and years ago. I say that like he played yesterday. Where they were doing a passing drill. It was basically like a keep away drill passing. And Clint Dempsey wasn't passing the ball. He was just dribbling and keeping away from the other team. And Jurgen Klinsmann yells at him like, "Oi, Clint, pass the fucking ball." He's like, "Why? They can't take it off of me."
Yeah, the whole goal is to not lose the ball, not to pass the ball. So
yeah, that's what that passing triangle is going to be like. Hey, move the ball to the other side. Why? They can't take it off of us.
Yeah, and if you think about it, going back to the Gonzalez scouting video, let's say that is our triangle. That's going to leave space for Gaston Gonzalez to run into like he likes to do, because he likes to hold the width and just be that straight line runner. And holding on the right and then switching over to the left, that could be a play we could see quite a bit over the course of the season. That could breed some results.
I'm especially excited to see some long switches. Oh, that's something Dogger Don does very well too. Is long switches.
Just a long ball.
Yeah. Well, no, like a long, not necessarily a long vertical ball, but a long horizontal ball.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Yeah. Which is, in my opinion, a very underutilized tactic.
I agree.
Because if you,
it's like, dangerous.
It's dangerous, but if you got someone who can do it, if you just want to completely switch the point of attack and go against, take a defense that's already set and then immediately make them unset. Because going against set defenses is for dummies. Then that's a way to do it.
Going against set defenses is so Orlando City 2022. Nah, this is going to be a great season. Ojeda looks fantastic. I can't wait to see how he fits in. I really hope we see it on the right, Faku in the middle, Gonzalez on the left. I think that's got to be the best way to get all our talent out there.
Say we go against a team with a stronger midfield and we want to start two true midfielders, even if we're playing Pereira at the 10, that's still, like, he's going to link play. He's going to, like, link Faku and Ojeda, no problem.
And he's going to do that defensive contribution that he gives. Yeah. So real exciting. Adam, thanks for joining me to kind of look at this and then have some other discussions. If you guys enjoyed, go ahead and follow us at Lions Blog on YouTube, subscribe to us at Lions Blog on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at Lions Blog 1. You can follow Adam at Kosher Taco Truck. And Adam, take it away. You can find Cappies on opening day?
At Broken Strings Brewery on February 25th pregame. That's a 7:30 p.m. game. I believe that's a Saturday night, I think.
I believe so.
So all the cool people are going to be there. And Broken, if you're a cool Strings people,
Brewery.
Broken Strings Brewery is great. They have amazing beers. It's a great atmosphere. It's always packed with Orlando City fans. It is within walking distance of the stadium. They have parking in their parking lot. They have parking lot in the lot behind them. There's street parking near there too, if you can manage to find a spot. It is the play. Like, even when I don't do game day food trucks, I still park near there. I still go grab a beer before the game, you know, say hi to everyone. It's a great time.
Yep. Are you doing the special that you did for the Red Bulls game in the cup or no?
No, I'm doing different things. What were the two things I was doing? My baker made some badass New York City style Kaiser rolls. So I'm doing a bacon, egg, and cheese with a twist. And then I'm going to make in honor of Mr. Tincho Martin Ojeda. We're making choripan.
Ooh, nice. That sounds awesome.
That's an Argentinian chorizo sandwich for the gringos in the house.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, thank you, Adam, so much. Really appreciate you joining me today. Can't wait to go eat some delicious food later on in February. Have a good rest of your night, my friend. And as always, vamos Orlando.
Vamos.
Biggest man in MLS comes up huge!